I started talking about chemtrails, maybe 15, 16 years ago on my my own radio program. And the thing that always bothered me was, you know, where are the whistleblowers? Where are the pilots of these C-130 Hercules transport planes that at that time were supposedly the culprit responsible for the aerosol spraying? And nobody was coming forward. And then, I guess a couple of years ago, there was a former Air Force veteran and bioenvironmental engineer by the name of Kristen Megan, who claimed that she had firsthand insider knowledge of hazardous materials like aluminum oxide, barium, and strontium being brought onto an Air Force base, the same chemicals and metals that have for years been found by chemtrail researchers in testing samples. She has a website called sugardecoded.com, and on it she writes, after watching Terror Storm in 2006, which is an Alex Jones film, I began a journey to promote the truth and question the status quo. I'm a nonconformist and believe that one should take a stand in educating themselves. I spent 9 years on active duty and saw firsthand the overregulation and contradictory actions within our government. After blowing the whistle, I left the military honorably and stronger than ever. I believe that I've done more for my country in 2 years in support of liberty than I accomplished while in uniform for almost a decade. I'm an industrial hygienist and environmental specialist in my other life. This education, experience, and expertise in these sciences fuel my distaste not only for the EPA, but the TSA. I will not sugarcoat the truth. I am not here to hold your hand. So put away your binky. I'm here to take a stand. We need more Kristen Megans. Back with more of my conversation with Ilana Freeland, the author of Chemtrails, HAARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, right here on Coast to Coast AM, plus your calls. Stay with us. We are back on Coast to Coast AM, and Ilana Freeland stays with us. Chemtrails, HAARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And Ilana, I mentioned Kristen Megan, the former U.S. Air Force bioenvironmental engineer, who blew the whistle. I guess just over a year ago, I believe, she came forward at a conference and talked about what she saw firsthand, these dangerous chemicals, the same ones found in chemtrails, being brought onto an Air Force base. But I'm wondering, where are the other whistleblowers? Maybe there are others, and I'm not aware of them.
Well, again, I feel that they're between a rock and a hard place. I saw that video when it came out on the net and went viral. It was tremendous courage and a wonderful young woman. I tell the story in the book about a few people who are dead now and who did try to speak. I think that's one of the advantages of your show, and also of writing a book that consolidates the material. My hope is that brave scientists will reconsider looking at this, whether it has a peer review or not, to really realize what living under a national security state means and how those secrets really kill. And they not just kill people, but they kill truth. And my hope is that this is going to change people.
Yeah, one of the frustrating things is over the years, when I'm talking with callers, their frustration in having witnessed or looked up, looking up in the sky and seeing these strange, persistent contrails, these strange X's and O's in the sky that just don't go away. And then they call the local newsroom at the radio or the TV station or the city desk at the newspaper, and they get absolutely no response. They get ridiculed and mocked or ignored. And I just like to put it out there. If there are any journalists who toil in the mainstream media out there listening, the next time you get a call like that, take it seriously and do a little bit of digging. Do your due diligence. What else can we do in terms of dealing with the media when it comes to this this issue of chemtrails? I know a lot of researchers don't even like to use the term chemtrails because that's so wrapped up in the whole conspiracy field. There's just too many red flags now attached to it.
Well, like I said, that term chemtrails, I've grown to love it now that I realize the Air Force gave it to us.
Right, right.
Remember? Right? My job is dissemination of as good an information as I possibly can put together. And my hope is, I guess I'm like General Patton. You know, General Patton is one of my heroes, actually, and he studied Caesar's Gallic Wars. He studied battle plans from the Civil War. He came from five generations of officers in militaries, and he had memories of having fought the battle at the Peloponnesian Wars in 500 BC or whenever it was. And Patton was a firm believer in study first. Before you get on the battlefield, really, really study. And if you can, study the enemy and how they think. I mean, he spent a lot of time studying Rommel, General Rommel of the German army, who was in North Africa. So I guess I look at myself as a warrior. I'm a soldier in the army of truth. And I like to be well prepared before I take on things. And I think what I feel about America, I'm in touch with Europeans, I'm in touch with Australians and New Zealanders, and they're really doing things. They're really organizing, and they're doing things. Europe has had, I think, four or five conferences on chemtrails, and we haven't heard a thing here. Nick Begich was invited back in the late 90s to go and speak at one of the conferences put on by the European Union. So we need to get with it here, and I would love to see some organization. Am I willing to spearhead that? Well, no, I'm not, because I'm still writing, and like I told you, those two chapters were taken out, and so now I'm beginning to think about that book. I'm a disseminator. And I know there are people out there who are real, you know, it's kind of like I'm tired of wringing my hands. What can I do? And that's what we need. We need that kind of thinking. What can we do? Now, a groundswell could come, and right away, you know, it just seemed to me that all the articles about closing HAARP down sort of increased as this book was coming online.
And yeah, so, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. And Clifford has had some remarkable experiences with various television programs, people that said they wanted him to come on their show and then just milked him for everything they could get and then went and sort of destroyed him on the shows without him there to defend himself. So when you say, what can we do regarding the media, I think educate ourselves. I mean, right away I thought of geoengineeringwatch.com. That's Dane Wigington's site. He's got excellent information on there. There are excellent places. I have a whole resource list in the back of the book. That's the first thing, prepare. And then the second, regarding the immune system, start thinking about your lifestyle and your immune system and what you can do for it, because we want to last. We want to last through this. There are many battles, and the war is long. I don't mind using a war motif because this is a fight for the truth, and this is a fight for the future generations.
Let's go to the wild card line and welcome Thomas from La Jolla, California. Thomas?
Hello, Richard and Alana. Great show tonight, and thank you. Thank you for taking my call. My question is simple. Ilana, you talked about studying the opposition, as General Patton recalled in World War II. Now, my question is, how do the elites and their families protect themselves? Do they have holistic protocols and metaphorical tinfoil hats to protect themselves against this electromagnetic interference, chemical toxicity and Morgellons, etc., that the rest of the citizenry, you and I, are being poisoned with?
Excellent question, Thomas. I see the elites with cell phones. Yeah. I see the elites using the cell phones just like the rest of us and microwave ovens and so forth.
Yes, yes. And I have a few ways to answer that because I've fielded this question before. First of all, having studied elites for many years, I know that they are in brotherhoods. They are in they network. They have an agenda which goes 50 to 100 years in advance, and they are expected to serve that agenda. And there are various ways to hold them to that. And just remember that when MK Ultra started in 1953, the mind control program of the CIA, the first victims among the children taken to begin the programming were the children of officers in the CIA and officers in the military. So the idea that the elite protect their children is not always true. That's a very important part of understanding. They do not live as we do. They really do not. Second of all, the idea that they have an antidote, absolutely. I would be surprised if they don't, because certainly when AIDS was created, they had the antidote for their own. Another idea is you've seen some chemtrails in the sky. You'll see a big, long piece, and then suddenly it breaks off. And the jet goes, I don't know, maybe 20 miles or so, and then it begins again. So is it possible that they know the current of drift and they protect certain areas? I know that they spray certain areas in large cities much more heavily than other areas of large cities. But beyond that, I mean, if I were going to vote for one of those, I would vote for the first one.
It's all right, Thomas.
And they're constantly reminded that it's a sacrifice to serve the future that they want.
Thomas and LaJolla, thanks for the call. Let's go east of the Rockies and say hi to Bill in Springfield, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Mr. Eaglin, my hat's off to you as a researcher. I have some interesting information for you that confirms what you said. In approximately 1961, I lived in Rock Island, Illinois. And the headlines on the paper ran from the dateline to the centerfold, very large headlines. In about 3-inch letters, it said, Russia perfects weather control. And as a subheading, It said in about 1-inch letters, will future wars be fought by controlling the weather? Now, there was about 3 pages of information that pretty well confirms everything you said at the start of the program about the upper atmosphere heaters. An interesting little tidbit. At that time, they said Russia was using 1,000 watts of power and that they pretty well could control from horizon to horizon with 1,000 watts. But very shortly, they anticipated 10,000 watts and they were hoping for a full fourfold increase. Well, when I got through doing, I lost my vision in 2002, so I had to quit doing my research. But at that time, I discovered there were 20 units around the world with 1 million watts of power. And now yeah. I know that Arecibo is 3 million watts of power.
And, yeah, I think Arecibo is really the next HAARP. And they have been redesigning part of it down there for the last 3 years.
Well, according to Stephen Quayle, he was on George's show about 3 years ago. He said at that time there were 67 units around the world. So I'm sure that they can control hurricanes and do just about anything they want with the weather by now.
Yes, and that one that you described by the Russians, 1,000 watts, yeah, that was the woodpecker for sure.
All right, Bill.
Well, prior to 61. Now, I don't know exactly what year that was.
All right, Bill, I appreciate the call from Springfield. Let's go west of the Rockies, and Steve is in Los Angeles. Hello, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Alana. Great show. Something I'm really interested in. I am a studier of the sky myself, and time constraints of the show won't let me go anywhere near where I want to go with all this. But lately out here in L.A., they've kind of slowed down the last week or so, and they're not spraying very much. But I've watched many days of what they were clear blue days that turned into cloudy days, and it was all from the chemtrails. I've gotten where I can tell just by looking at the clouds whether they're chemtrails or regular clouds. And yeah. I've got one strange one I was wondering if you'd ever seen before or heard of. One night, just after the sun went down, the spraying started, and it was perfectly spaced lines heading from southeast to northwest direction across the sky, like candy stripes. And there was about 12, 13 of them. They went all the way across, west to east.
You mean dark light, dark light, dark light?
No, they were just chemtrails going all the way across the sky. I've also seen
when you say candy stripe, what do you mean?
Well, a chemtrail would go across the sky, and then another chemtrail would go across the sky, spaced, and then the spacing was perfect all the way across.
Yeah.
I've also seen the negative, where it's a cloud and you can see the negative chemtrail in it. That's interesting.
You mean
too.
The black one?
Yeah, it's a dark. It's like it looks almost like a negative, but like it's not a chem. It's like a cloud, but in the cloud you can see like a shadow. In the cloud.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And that is true. I can tell you're a cloud watcher. I'd love to talk to you, but yeah,
oh, man,
time constraint.
I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you and talk about all this stuff. But this particular night, this is really interesting. I want to get this one out. Sometimes I listen to the show at 10 and it goes till 2. And sometimes I go to bed early and I wake up about 3 or 3:30 and I listen to the show then. And this particular morning, I'd gone to bed early, and I woke up about 3 o'clock, made some coffee, and at the break, I go out, and I look at the sky. And that night, from the earlier, just after the sun went down, I seen the lines go across. That next morning, I was up watching, and the sun hadn't come up yet. It was going to come up in about half an hour, maybe an hour. Some of the light over in the east was from the city, but I believe that some of it was from the sun as well. And the lines from the chemtrails had turned, and they were pointing from the sun, and there was 12 or 13 of them, and they looked, you know how a sunburst looks, where the sun is in there, and then there's a cloud, and the rays come out at different angles, and they're all pointing at the sun? That's what these chemtrails were doing. They were like, it was like a cloud burst. It was like a chemtrail burst.
Well, you know what I think?
I guess. I
think what they count on, go ahead, Alana.
Oh, yeah. My guess on that would be they are experimenting with different forms in the sky, and that totally sounds like them, where they would, like, recreate a sunburst with their chemtrails. Yeah,
It sounds like to me that they're taking a little bit of pride in their artistry now. It's like, let's see what kind of creation we can do today. And I think the other thing they count on is that, you know, none of us have as much time as we used to look up into the heavens and sort of contemplate. We're so busy chasing our tails and trying to pay for our toys that we don't pay attention to what's going on in the skies. And if we did, I think we'd all maybe start to wake up to what's going on up there.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see some pictures up there, so we'll keep our eyes open.
Some pictures. Well,
yeah,
listen.
Because I mean, we didn't talk about crop circles tonight, but there are many artistic tools that they have in mind beyond the holography, because HARP has a tremendous holography ability, and I think we've seen some of it. I don't know if you saw that YouTube of an entire city, a ghost city in China that people were standing on a bridge watching. That holography ability, and not just the Virgin Mary and Jesus up there, but
Project Blue
Beam, entire city.
Yeah,
yeah.
Listen,
I think we're going to see a lot. And in a way, they have a right to be proud, don't they? It's the misuse of this technology that is the problem.
All right, we'll take a time out to come back with Ilana Freeland, Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm speaking with Ilana Freeland, the author of Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And when we come back, we'll get to more of your calls, and we'll also continue to discuss how we can all fight back. As for me, my suggestion is continue to look at the skies, start taking pictures, start flooding your newsroom at the radio station or the TV station or the newspaper where you live, start flooding them with emails, phone calls, faxes, and demand that they start looking into this issue. That's a start. It's only a start. Coast to Coast continues right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. My name is Richard Serrett. Ilana Freeland joining us, the editor of Paranoia Magazine, and we're discussing chemtrails and HAARP. Let's get right back to the phones. We've got a full board of lines, and we start on the wild card line again. Chris is in Clearwater, Florida. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Ilana, on Clifford Carnicom's Institute's site, as you know, the red wine and hydrogen peroxide test of the saliva under a microscope shows the fibers of which we're all infected. And constantly being reinfected. But, of course, we all don't have the horrific symptoms of Morgellons disease. And I know colloidal silver is helpful, but I heard from former CNN anchor Dr. Gwen Scott, MD, naturopathic doctor, that she says Morgellons disease sufferers gotta get relief without side effects by using food-grade diatomaceous earth, a tablespoon or two per day on an empty stomach. Now, that's not the pool material diatomaceous earth, it's food grade, and the only drawback of which I know is that beneficial bacteria are also destroyed, so they have to be replenished with probiotics, prebiotics, and fermented foods. And what do you think of food grade diatomaceous earth?
Well, I remember Gwen from in Santa Fe. She and Clifford were friends, and I have seen the films that they did. They did two films of them sitting and talking about Morgellons. And at the in the Morgellons chapter of the book, I do list a variety of things that I, of course, have not tried. And diatomaceous earth is one of them. And I am very interested in what success people have. And I certainly respect Gwen Scott. So I would assume, I think the thing I say, and what I'm big on, is your daily regime. And it could include diatomaceous earth, but it would also have to include an alkaline-producing diet. Because as I said, these little critters do not like alkalinity. They love acidity. So if you had a diet that was heading toward the alkaline, and then you tried these different things, there are about two dozen things that I list that have been recommended to me by Morgellon sufferers, and that's the kicker right there. And I think it really depends on the body that someone has and their bloodstream.
So probably scale back on the coffee consumption and maybe add a little lemon juice to your water.
It could be. It could be. I mean, for me, it's I eat a lot of whole grains and vegetables, and I chew very well, and I don't allow myself, like I have a glass of wine every 2 or 3 weeks. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat sweets in general. You know, I've found something that works for me, and I can tell when acidity is building up, and then the next day I just counter that with something alkaline producing. You know, it's not my religion, but it really works, and I think every person just needs to pay that attention to see what works for them.
All right, let's go back to the wild card lines. This time we're going to Brooklyn, New York, I guess it is. And Jan, welcome to Coast. Good morning.
Hi. I want to give a quick comment and then a question. One of my favorite things for building the immune is you put a piece of wool between your pillow and your pillowcase at night because wool gives off energy and the pillow is just weakening you a lot. And now my question. The question is this. I heard about the Vogue machine from Germany. It's a homeopathic machine, and they can make the exact remedies for you. So, like, they could take the thread and make a homeopathic remedy exactly for your body. And I was wondering, has there been any homeopathic work done or herbal things? But they would check this out with the Vogue machine.
And what is the name of the machine? Spell it for me.
No, they have a lot of different machines. It's Voll, V-O-L-L, and there's a couple of different companies that have made machines based on his theory. So, okay. You know, I'm sure you'd be able to find it if you check it out.
Well, I'm writing it down. That's very good. And I, by the way, I sleep on a wool pillow. You're absolutely right.
I had not heard that before. All right. Listen, thank you for that call, Jan. Let's move on down the line to west of the Rockies and say hi to Matt in the Bay Area. Hey, Matt.
Hi. My question is for Ilana. Yeah, I've lived in the Bay Area my entire life, and currently I'm living in about 10 minutes south of San Bruno, and I see these planes go over every day. I'm right by the airport here. And what I've noticed is that these planes, and what from other people have described as a shadow, a black line intermixed with the actual chemtrails, it's actually being projected out of the front of the plane. So I'm wondering if this is like a guide or a particle beam that it's priming the air in front of the plane, or it's actually coming from another source on the ground or above the atmosphere that's guiding these planes. I've seen this and I'm just baffled by it. And you actually kind of need binoculars to see this.
Yeah, sometimes. And I know exactly what you're talking about. And it seems that the beam is coming out, and I would say that it's a guide. I would absolutely say that. Now, I have read that some of the chemtrails, sometimes you'll see a dark underlayer, and that can be carbon. Carbon can be being spread. But that one that comes out the front is definitely a guideline. And just as long as we're talking about guidelines, when you see X marks the spot, that also is a key to the direction that the HAARP power is going to be coming. Some place is being tapped seriously.
And also the ham radio operators
The
ham radio operators are also able to alert us when the HAARP gets turned on, apparently.
Yeah, but the HAARP sites are the real HAARP site, of course, is down, and then other sites. I go back and forth on them. Like I said, I'm very cautious regarding laboratories. Sites telling me that HAARP is tuned in. I just have to keep checking because the shills and the disinfo agents are very thick in this area.
All right, to the international line we go. Sylvain is in Ottawa. Hey, Sylvain, welcome.
No, thank you for inviting me. Yes.
All right, you're on the line with Ilana.
Okay. Yes, Ilana and Richard. Great show right now. I just wanted to say I'm in communication with some airline pilots, some who are retired and some who are currently active, primarily in the United States. And as a result, I have a group online against chemtrails and geoengineering. We have like some 8,000 members. We've been working at this for quite a while. I just wanted to mention that...
Wonderful.
This is, how do you say, the pilots want to break the silence. They're afraid to. When I communicate with them on, I have like my own like internet radio show. It's done, I call them Jack. And the female pilots, I call them Jill. And they're in direct communication with us. I'm sure they could do the same with you if I invite them to do that. As long as their identity is protected, you can see their pilots by the responses they give to your questions. They're very, very knowledgeable. So politicians as well. The second thing is politicians. The former premier of British Columbia, Bill Van der Zandt, I don't know if you know, he's very much against this, and he's very active, and he's proceeding against chemtrails by municipality across Canada. He's gone public.
How do you spell his name? Van der Zandt.
Van der Zandt.
Yeah, V-A-N-D-E-R, Z-A-L-M. Okay. Also, we have M. Yeah, he's very open. I'm sure he'll talk with you. We also have another a member of Parliament for the NDP, Adam. I can't remember his last. It's one of these Polish names. Who's also admitting that it's happening. I just want to say, at a political and legal level now, chemtrails, even though you will email either the EPA or President Obama or the head of your nation, and they will say it's not happening. They deny. I know that because several years ago I asked several thousand of my members to email their national leaders and ask them. We had a form letter which people customized as they wanted to. We had responses from leaders in 14 out of the 27 nations we identified. We also have a letter from Obama himself in the archive of our group saying that it is not happening and not to worry about it and go to the EPA.gov site and so on. So They're denying it's happening. But if you look at the U.S. Committee on Science and Technology, the U.K. Parliament website, the Royal Society for Science and Technology, and even the Canadian government site, you will see PDF documents on official sites saying that they are currently controlling this. And I have links to documents. And the recent update in Canada for the Canadian Parliament dates back to May 14th, 2014. So they're in control of it. They want money for it. They're using money for it. But they're denying that it's happening. So that's at the political and governmental level.
What is your website? Can you tell it to me?
Well, I'll be happy to. Am I allowed to?
Yeah, tell me.
I believe so, yes.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to make sure. Let me just check because I don't know by heart here. Okay, it's facebook.com/groups/chemtrail-hypernetwork.
Chemtrail Hyper Network?
Yes, Chemtrail, a singular, Chemtrail Hyper Network. And,
okay. And regarding
Go ahead.
Regarding the Jack and Jill pilots, are you saying that if we were in email contact, they would share information, but they will not come forward with their names? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Well, Sylvain, let me ask you, are these commercial pilots or are these pilots of, let's say, for example, these C-130 transport planes?
They're commercial pilots.
Well, I'm just curious, what knowledge would they have in terms of the content of the fuel, for example, whether or not there were aluminum oxide particles or barium or strontium in the jet fuel?
I'm happy you asked that particular question because my group and the pilots are collaborating right now. I've created an online form for people to report chemtrails. We believe that certain cities or certain major airports are involved, but we have to prove it. And so we need the cooperation of people. They have to, on this very form, there's four required fields. They report the time and date, the appearance of the chemtrail. We don't ask for anybody's identity. We're just collecting information to zero in on which cities, which airports. It's not by nation. The pilots have identified that. Because the pilots I'm in communication with believe it's been added in the fuel because they refuse to believe that so many commercial airline pilots would not know about this. Or if it was, and they say that these pilots know every inch of their plane, and so if there would be an on and off nozzle, they would know about it. The button for the spray nozzles, they would know about it, and there is no possible way that it would be a canister inside the baggage area. They inspect that all the time. I used to be a flight attendant myself, and we used to inspect the baggage area, and we even changed a flat tire once on a plane when we landed, and they even have a spare tire. I couldn't believe it. So the pilots believe it's in the fuel, And they believe that it was started by the military. But since the military don't have enough planes to cover the planet, because this is a transnational operation, okay, it goes right across borders, and there are legal documents to show that our leaders, national leaders, have authorized them to do this for different reasons, and they're not liable for any damages caused by this.
All right, Sylvain, listen, I really appreciate the call. Some terrific information here. I want to try and squeeze in one more caller before we say so long. So, again,
okay,
Sylvain,
I'll
thank
try
you for
to
this.
Contact you. Yeah, I'm going to try to contact you.
Great. Let's go to the first-time caller line and say hi to James in San Francisco, who's been very patient. James, go ahead. You're on Coast.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. It was just interesting that I happened to tune in tonight and hear Ms. Freeland talking about Morgellons and these mysterious fibers that that appear out of lesions. And it reminded me of a TV news segment from a local television station called KTVU here in San Francisco back in 2012. I believe the health and science editor, John Fowler, was the one that reported on a mysterious disease that was plaguing patients in San Francisco as well as other parts of California, where they were reporting these fibers that were jutting out of these lesions from their skin. And the fibers were actually featured on the video segment, and you could clearly see that these fibers were multicolored or black, and they were underneath the skin. They looked like little worms. They weren't pulsing or moving, but they just looked like lots of ingrown hairs. And a lot of people who mm-hmm. were featured on the TV segment were kind of wondering what this was. Eventually, the news station asked the CDC to investigate, and the CDC concluded that they don't know what it is. They didn't even have a name for it. But also, apparently, John Fowler had reported on this about 10 years ago, back in 2004, and it's been silent ever since. Do you believe that it's just some kind of a form of, like, a selective virus that can maybe eliminate people, or that's been designed, maybe nanotechnology?
Well, it is definitely nanotechnology, and I in the last chapter of the book, I talk about Clifford Carnicum is who has studied it profusely for years. He's calling it a cross-domain bacteria, and it is definitely genetically engineered to eat iron from our hemoglobin. The way I like to think of it, I don't know if I like it, but the way I do think of it is that we are like a little incubator. And one of the things I've wondered, as long as we're talking about it, is the global warming, which is happening not because of carbons, but because of this HARP chemtrails technology.
We've got about
30
seconds, Yolanda.
Ionospheric heaters.
We've got about 30 seconds.
Global warming is acting as an incubator, perhaps even purposely for biologicals.
All right. Listen, Ilana, thank you for spending some time with us tonight. Thank you for Chemtrails, HARP, and the full spectrum dominance of planet Earth. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And my thanks to George Norrie, Lisa Lyon, Chris Burrows, Dan Galanti, Stephanie Smith, Tim Binall, Brian Opry, Gina Silvati, and here in Toronto, Scott Guest and Gord Harris. And to all of you listening at home, thank you for your ears. So long.